The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. It'll be Niall Hannity, Ross Briley and Mick Norton in the studio. Unfortunately, down to two meetings, but there is still racing to look forward to. Southwell and Exeter remain after Fosslass and Lingfield have been abandoned. But we're going to look ahead to that, and I'm joined in the studio by not one, but two people today. Alex Dunn and Darren Owen. How are you, fellas?
Yes, I'm well. Are you?
I'm very well as well, thanks. Yeah. How are you, Mark?
Yeah, I'm not too bad at all.
Good. You're walking better.
Yes. Well, it's about time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. We'll start by having a little bit of a chat about some of the news stories and going through the Monday jury. And then we're going to get the thoughts of Alex Dunn on Tuesday's racing from Southwell. But starting with the news, the big story, I suppose, of the last couple of days has been the big book story. Darrell Jacob not riding, and Sam Twiston Davis will take the ride on the Paul Nicholls Superstar. I suppose a lot of people felt bad for Darrell Jacob to start with, but it's since come out that he saw it as something of a poison chalice, that if it got beat, it would be his fault, and if it won, it would be down to the horse, really. And, and there's also been the comparison, it's the last horse of the Court or Star Denman era, and I suppose you can see where he's coming from, can't you?
Yeah, I totally can. It was, in a way, it was a no-win situation. Yeah, okay, the horse won, everyone said, yeah, well, it's won, because he is big bucks.
Yeah.
But he had more, I suppose he felt he had more to lose than gain by all this.
Yeah, because if it got beat, it would have been entirely his fault, according, you know.
Yeah.
Or it would have been perceived to be his fault.
But you know, and I think it's very, very noble of him actually to come out with all this, and very honest of him to say that you know, he felt it was a poison chalice, and you know, perhaps he should be overlooked and have a look elsewhere.
But at the same time, surely if you're a jockey with ambition,
yeah,
you know, you want to ride big books, don't you? It's surely one of the horses that you get into riding for.
Yeah.
I can see why he's said it and why he's done it, but it, you know, and Nicholls has said that there's no fallout, no argument, if you like.
No.
But I don't know. It just seems slightly odd.
Do you still think there's something still a bit deeper, as in the stable are thinking about the future
potentially
with the recruitment of Sam?
Yeah. Well,
Paul Nicholls did say that Darrell Jacob isn't the stable jockey; he's the main jockey.
Yeah, there's no stable jockey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So. Mm.
I think when you're trying to replace Ruby Walsh as well, you'll be looking around for a while trying to find a jockey as good as him.
Yeah.
And in Sam Twiston Davies, they've got one who is a very, very good jockey. Don't get me wrong, Darrell Jacob's a good jockey. But personally, between the two, if I owned a horse, I'd want Sam Twiston Davies on it ahead of Darrell Jacob. For most of them, you know.
Yeah. But that's, you know, it's a personal preference,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's purely personal, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got a jockey, one that's thinking, I don't know if I want to ride this, and one that's absolutely dying to ride
it. Yeah. Clearly Sam Twiston Davies has shown a bit of, you know, willingness here. I am surprised. I can see why Darrell Jacob has done what he's done, but surely if you're a jockey, you want to ride the best horses.
Yeah.
Regardless of, you know, media attention or whatever, you want to be on the best horses.
I don't know. I mean, we don't know that Big Bucks is what he used to be. And
True. If
he gets beat now, it obviously ends the long record. And if you've never ridden the horse before, and then you've got all, you know, all that to lose, really, the chances of you being blamed for it afterwards or the negative criticism that you're going to receive afterwards kind of does outweigh the positives of riding him in a respect, I think.
Yeah, to a point, yeah.
But he's going to have a nice ride. by the look of things, if you just look at the picture now for the World Hurdle, he could still end up with a nice ride.
Celestial Halo is now.
Celestial Halo, or even Saturday's Lanzarote winner.
Yeah,
Sapphire.
That could enter the equation, because I think that's a really nice horse.
Well, we'll move on to that shortly, was it?
Yeah, we will.
That's
yeah.
in the Monday jury. let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I'm sorry.
Just before we quickly move on to the Monday jury, Undersue was an impressive winner at Navan, didn't really beat much. But he's being trimmed with us at 14-1, and it's just one of those where he could be the surprise package for the champion hurdle.
Egg and spoon spring to mind, because that's all this horse. Hey, don't get me wrong, it's been well campaigned. Is it 4 from 4 now of the hurdles?
Mm-hmm.
But they've all been egg and spoon races. You know, what do we know? We know the horse has got ability, but how good is the horse? We're just left guessing.
Very good horse, but would have to be exceptional to win this champion hurdle this year.
The problem is we just don't know.
Yeah, true.
Well, we don't know, but, you know, by the way it's being campaigned, surely they would have taken things by the scruff of the neck before now and stepped this horse up in class if they thought it was really championship material.
And
do you not agree?
Yeah, I do, yeah. And at the weekend we saw a few Willie Mullins horses fancied coming over and they got beat by the English horses, so...
Mm. Yeah.
Could be another
They're
one.
Not all going to be world beaters,
no,
are they?
Exactly. Well, it's impossible for that, isn't it? Okay, well, we'll move on. Let's move on to the Monday jury. This week's first question is, did we see a festival-winning novice hurdler at the weekend?
I'm inclined to say no.
I'd agree with that.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, unanimous. Should we move on then? Yeah, I mean, look, you're talking about novice hurdlers. You're talking about Triumph Hurdle horses as well. There was the juvenile hurdle at Kempton,
yep,
which was won by the John Joe O'Neill trained.
That one on debut?
Yeah, on debut. First race, what was it called? You know the one I mean.
I know which one you mean, yes.
Yeah.
Was it Goodwood Mirage? Was it?
It was,
Goodwood
yes.
Mirage.
Yes.
Yeah, it was Goodwood Mirage. I mean, that it was his class and his flat pace that got him out of trouble on Saturday. I mean, he just couldn't jump.
Well, he jumped all right until the last two.
Yeah, at the moment, I couldn't entertain him for the Triumph Hurdle. Mm. Really couldn't. And regarding the older novices, yeah, you know, I like Deputy Dan.
Yeah.
You know, but he's winning in the mud.
Mm.
You know, it could be a different ball game come the spring.
Yeah.
And I just think there'll be a few with a bit more zip than him come Cheltenham.
I was very disappointed with the Liquidator.
Yeah, but I don't think I was going to move on to that. I don't think it's time to write him off, because I don't think Kempton is a track that suit him. And I don't think the ground suited him either. Give him better ground around Cheltenham, and I think he's a better horse completely.
Couldn't rule him out, but, you know, the question is, did we see a festival-winning novice hurdler? Right now, you'd have to be very, very confident on his chances to say, yes, I think he will, because on the back of that, you couldn't... You know, I don't think you could back him for...
I don't think that was his running, though, if you look at his other two efforts.
Yeah, true. And at Cheltenham last time, he was very impressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had high hopes for him on Saturday, and he didn't live up to them. So certainly a watching brief for me for that one.
What I would say is, do you know what wouldn't surprise me come one of the big spring meetings is that we see a better performance from Garde la Victoire.
Yeah, nice
on better ground.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we actually talked about this race before yesterday morning, didn't we, Wizard? And you said you didn't think Kempton would suit the Liquidator and the ground, and you also said you had a lot of time for Garde la Victoire.
Yeah.
But the issue was the ground again.
The ground, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that race could be interesting to follow. Mm. But maybe not necessarily a festival winner. We don't know.
But the answer is probably no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, second question. What sort of prospects does Sapphire Daru have in the World Hurdle? You were just about to talk about this, Wizard, before I stopped you and made you wait till this question.
Well, the step up in trip has certainly brought about improvement in this individual. He was stepped up to 2.6 at Sandown in early December, absolutely hosed in at Sandown, and gosh, he travelled like a very good horse on Saturday in the Lanzarote over 2.5. I do think this horse has got bags of potential. Whether he could lift the Stayers hurdle, the World Hurdle is another thing. They might see him as an embryonic chaser.
Mm.
You know, down the line. But when you think about it, if you look closely at the World Hurdle, it's still quite muddy. The waters are quite muddy, aren't they? Because we don't know... Well, for a start, we don't know which race Annie Power's going to go for.
Yeah.
Right? We don't know whether we're going to see the real big bucks.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, just throws things wide open. Mm. It might be worth a ticket. Why not for this year? But this might be a chaser further down the line, this horse.
Yeah. My only doubt, well, not only doubt, but one of the doubts I have about Safir Daru going to the World Hurdle is that connections already have big bucks and Celestial Hero.
Precisely. So what do they do?
Well, I think in big bucks and in Celestial Halo, you've got two fully established horses at that trip. And I'd imagine they may look elsewhere for Safir Daru.
Well, if you're going to look elsewhere and you're thinking Cheltenham, you've got to go down the handicap route.
Yeah.
Mm. Or do you put the horse away and think about entry, another target?
Yeah. I mean, looking at the betting, big bucks 6-4, Annie Power 4-1, more of that 5-1, and then double figures the rest. Now, given what you've just said there, you know, would you want to take 6-4 about big bucks, not knowing his well-being? That's debatable.
No, I wouldn't.
It's debatable. Annie Power, like we said, until the day, we don't know where she's going to go, or at least near the time. So more of that's the only one that you'd imagine will end up there, you know, for certain. If you were having an anti-post bet now,
yeah,
then more of that is the solid one, if you like, because it's the most likely to go there and give his running. But
and things haven't really worked. And things haven't worked out for at Fisher's Cross this season, have they?
No, they haven't.
And forgotten how to jump.
Exactly. And then you've got horses like Rev de Sivola, who's just consistent, and you know, you could see possibly nicking a place if some of the others don't run up to scratch. Zakandar battles well, you know, and it's a race where. But I wouldn't be surprised if one does come from my field. And surprise.
Okay, let me just put this to you then. If Andy Stewart didn't have Celestial Halo and Big Bucks, maybe just one of those, not two of those, you'd be inclined to say, yeah, let's go for this.
I'd imagine you probably would.
With Safir Daru.
Yeah. You don't want your own horses.
The problem I've got with Safir Daru is I'm struggling for a target. If you're insisting on going
something,
to Cheltenham.
Something like the Coral Cup or something like that.
Yeah, but you're going to be in a handicap. This horse is going to be going up in the weights.
Mm. Yeah, but his last two wins suggest that he's the handicap.
He hasn't stopped improving, yeah.
Yeah.
I've probably.
It becomes tougher, though, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It's a tricky one.
Mm.
So prospects in the World Hurdle could have a chance, but might not necessarily go to the race.
Yeah, it just might have place prospects.
Yeah, if he goes, he does have, like I said, a place chance. Maybe not. Couldn't see him winning, but certainly a very good horse wherever they go with
him. He's a very exciting horse.
Yeah.
Okay, is Captain Chris worth considering for the Gold Cup at a big price? My answer straight off is no.
No, you can have it with me now.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Nah.
Yeah. No,
forget it.
Well beaten last year. He prefers to go the other way around as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So, will he go to Cheltenham?
No, I probably wouldn't take him there myself.
No.
Go Punchestown with him instead.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't think we need to spend too much time on that one. Which horse or horse?
Negativity this morning, isn't there?
Say again?
A lot of negativity.
It is, yeah, everything's
very
a no.
Dismissive.
Yeah. Nobody's going to Cheltenham.
No. I am.
Which race you win?
There's a few.
Which of the horses
totally outpaced in the Hunter Chase?
Oh dear. Which of the horses caught your eye over the last week or so?
I'll start with this one. Corin Wood, lovely horse.
Yeah.
Fancied it beforehand for one of the races at Cheltenham, whether it goes the 4 miler or the RSA. Still not sure about that, but just the way that horse jumps. Granted, it was a race with, I think, there were only 4 or 5 runners in at Warwick. There was only really Black Thunder that could get near him, you know, from a form point of view. But from the front, just every fence, stag-like. Definitely a horse going places. Really exciting horse to watch. And I'd be very, very interested to see where he ends up.
Okay. About you, Wizard?
I have got one, but I'm just bear with me a second. Going back to Corin Wood,
mm-hmm.
I just think front running around Cheltenham, I just think he'd be vulnerable.
Possibly, but if he continues to jump as he has done, I think that he might just take a little bit of pegging back. I know I can say exactly what you're saying in a race where there's more runners, and perhaps if he gets taken on for the lead, he may struggle. But and it would represent a pretty big step up. Like I said, he only really beat Black Thunder at Warwick. Won at Catterick the time before that and didn't beat a great deal, but just the way that he jumps is so taking.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if he can slip the field at Cheltenham, to be honest.
I'm going to say Goodwood Mirage because he jumped well until the last two, made all sorts of mistakes, and he could have thrown the towel in there, but he stayed on well, and McCoy never gave up and got there right on the line, and he's obviously going to improve for that being his first effort over hurdles. Pretty useful on the flat as well, and I think when I was, well, I was speaking to AP McCoy on Saturday morning, he said he expected to win that, and they think a lot of him. Like, I think it's interesting where he goes next.
Interesting to see that Ken Pitson from Kempton said that he'd heard that the horse hadn't schooled very well at all prior to that race. And that was, you know, some of the jumps were very novicey, or just very slow. And as we've said, it was the horse's flat speed that got him out of danger. But if he sharpens up for that, then yeah, certainly want to follow. But
yeah,
I think he would have to.
Yeah, he would have to. You can't jump the last two like that and expect to win. But
I'll give you one from earlier in the week, not such an obvious one maybe. Edmund Keane of David Pipes won nicely at Leicester. I think it was its chase debut midweek. Mm-hmm. That was over a distance just shy of 3 miles. This is a horse who was placed in the very, very hot EBF hurdle final at Sandown last spring. And I just think there's going to be quite a bit more to come from this one. So Edmund Keane of David Pipes.
Okay, Edmund Keane.
No good going for the obvious.
Fair enough, Edmund Keane. Is it worth looking beyond Cider Grugy in the Clarence House on Saturday?
For the winner, no.
I don't like the horse, but I don't think there's much that'll beat it, to be honest.
No, I can't get excited about it. I'm struggling.
Captain Conan's out now. That's the news this morning. Captain Conan to miss the race. That's probably, you know, the only one that I'd have thought.
What about Hinterland? Could he be a player?
Possibly.
Well, Paul Nichols obviously thinks quite a lot of him.
I don't particularly like Cider Grugy.
I'd be interested to see the betting and see what price Summersby's in, because I think he's got an each way chance.
Yeah.
I think he'd be around about sort of, what, 4 or 5 to 1?
Yeah, if you can get an each way price, I think it's a decent each way shout to knock.
I'd certainly rather take Summersby at 4s or 5s if it's available.
I'll tell you what, away from Cider Grugy, I'd be interested in Hinterland, the novice.
Yep.
But it's not a great. I mean, you look past the 2 milers beyond sort of Sprint to Sacra. Cider Grugy's done. I still don't rate the horse especially, but can't knock what it's done so far. But then you're looking at, it was Wazo de Nuit, wasn't it, that followed him home? And, that, you know, nice enough handicapper, but that's about it, really. So
I'd prefer to see this race going back to its old format and become a limited handicap chase. When Desert Orchid was beating Panto Prince in this race many moons ago, when I was a nipper, this was a limited handicap, and it was a lot more competitive. I'd rather see it as a limited handicap.
Yeah, it does need to be more competitive than it is, really, doesn't it, at the moment? But
So away from Cider Grugy, I'd take an interest in Hinterland.
Okay. And the final question of this week's Monday Jory, do you fancy Paul Nichols to retain his lead in the Trainers' Championship? We've spoke about this before, Wizard, and
we have.
I think we agreed that we think it'll go down to the wire. Has your opinion changed?
Yeah, it's going to go down to the wire. What more can I say on it? It's a funny time of the year, though, this, because it is traditionally a quiet time for Nichols. January, he vaccinates his horses against the flu virus, and he doesn't really run many during January. It is a funny time of the year. No, I think this is going to be on the bob.
I think it will be very, very close.
And they've both got possibly a couple of leading lights or for the Grand National.
Well, I'm thinking Tidal Bay could be the one.
Well, you got Tidal Bay, you got Triolo de Len from on the other side of the fence.
Already proven over the fences.
You got Rocky Creek as well for Nichols.
It will go down to around.
It may not be decided after Cheltenham.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it came down to the National 2 years ago, didn't it? And there wasn't much in it last year either. Yeah. So it's going to be the same story, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that just about does it for the Monday.
It was a wonderful experience. It was a great pleasure. Alex, work away.
Yes, I'll have a go at Southall.
Cheerio.
Thank you, Wizard.
Thank you very much, Wizard. So there you go. Darren Owens' Monday Jory with a little bit of assistance, maybe from maybe hindrance from Alex Dunn and myself there. Let's move on to
how rude.
Let's move on to Tuesday's racing though, because we must, and we're going to look at three races at Southwell, or Alex is going to look at three races at Southwell, and the first of which is the 110, which is a class 6 handicap over a mile. There's 13 horses in the lineup for this one. It's one of those where it's probably going to be 7-2, 4-1 the field, and you could set a case for quite a few of these, Alex. Where do you want to start? Matagia, is that a decent starting point?
Yeah, interesting race because you've got three horses running with a penalty here. Doesn't often happen at Southall. You don't often get horses that are arriving, you know, bang in form, if you like. But the thing is, all of the wins are sort of not out of the blue. But if you look at the previous form figures, you wouldn't really expect them. Exclusive and Matagia won here of those carrying penalties.
Yeah.
And Outlaw Torn won what I think is a pretty good race, to be honest, at Wolverhampton. But Outlaw Torn has shown that he doesn't particularly like Southall, Wolverhampton specialist, and I don't know why he's running here, to be honest. I don't know. So I'll be skipping Outlaw Torn. And to be honest, I'll make it between Matagia Exclusive and Queen of Skies. Queen of Skies, a horse that didn't win last time out, but she showed some pretty improved form, to be honest. And the Appleby and Mullen partnership at Southall, you know, everything's in place for that one to run a big race. Matagia won last time out at Southall over the mile. Did it pretty nicely as well. Shown a fondness for Southall in the past. Has obviously got a run with the penalty, but Dale Swift is a jockey that's really caught my eye over the summer. Over the winter. And I think Matagia would just be the pick here. I think Exclusive Race was quite a bit weaker. And then for the others, General Tufto, very, very steady horse, loves it here. You won't be surprised if that gets in the mix, but Matagia beat that last time. I'd expect Matagia to uphold the form there. You know, I mentioned Queen of Skies, but Queen of Skies was behind General Tufto last time out. So that through that form line, you know, they're sort of pretty well matched. And obviously through a direct form line there, then Matagia again will take the beating. Matagia for me in that one.
Okay, Matagia in the 110. On to the 145 next. This is an apprentice handicap over a mile, and Tatting arrives here in good form. He's racked up a double. He's a previous course and distance winner as well, which is obviously massive at Southall. And Shelley Burkett in the saddle, who's, I think, ridden him before. So
Shelley Burkett gets on well with him. Won last time out on him at Southall, as you mentioned. That was off a mark of 73, runs off 79 at this time. Important to note, though, it is an apprentice race. And obviously, with apprentice races, it is best to just look at the jockeys. You know, not solely, but it's a very good starting point. There are some talented ones in here, but of them, I'd say that Shelley Burkett is up there with them. She's really impressed me recently with her riding style. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if in the future she's really, you know, up there.
Yep.
We've seen Hayley Turner do it. I'm not suggesting that she could scale those heights per se, but she seems very, very, very competent in the saddle and rides Southall well. So everything's in place for Tatting to run a big race. Not penalised too heavily, I don't think, for the last two victories. Shelley Burkett on board. Everything's there for it. The only sort of doubts that you might have is that a lot of the runners coming up against Tatting do have course wins to their name. Our arriver, again, for Michael Appleby would have to be respected. Aqua Ardennes with Louis Stewart on board. Louis Stewart, another jockey that I do like.
Yeah, I've just been looking at that one. He's only been to Southall once and won.
Yeah, and he's very, very consistent.
And Louis Stewart's been amongst the winners of late as well.
He has, definitely. And it's weighted to go pretty close, to be honest. Though it has been creeping up in the weights without winning. You know, hasn't won for five. But again, Louis Stewart does take three off, so that just about negates that. No win, no fee. Again, the Appleby team at the bottom. That's probably the pick of the Appleby two there. You know, it's. I suppose you could say it's pretty open. In that a lot of horses arriving there in form, but for me, Tatting will take quite a bit of beating here, and it'll be hopefully a winner for Shelley Burkett.
Okay, Tatting then in the 145, and the 325 is our final stop at Southwell. This is a Class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs, and I suppose an obvious starting point here would be Hannah's Turn, who bolted up over this course and distance last time.
Yeah, seems pretty obvious, this one, to be honest. Hannah's Turn.
Sorry, it wasn't this course and distance, it was 6 furlongs.
No, it was over 6 last time.
Yeah.
That would be the only negative, I think, for Hannah's Turn, but she has won over 5 here a couple of times. Her course record is just astonishing. 6 wins from 9 runs. Like I said, they dropped to five. Is the only thing that you might just...
She has won over five rounds.
Exactly. So. But was very impressive over six last time. And you've just got to bear in mind that the time before last at Suddle, she just got a little tap for toe. You know, Powerful Wind won that race. And Powerful Wind goes off lickety-split from the front. And, you know, if there's a horse that bounces out here at Suddle, as you see every now and again, and just, you know, might take a bit of catching. But in current form, Hannah's Turn has got to have a chance here. Again, Shelley Burkett on board. It's becoming the Shelley Burkett podcast, this. She does get to take £5 off, though, in this race. She couldn't in the apprentice race. She gets on really, really well with the horse once again. Powerful Wind, as I mentioned, is the horse that did win over five last time, that Hannah's Turn and Powerful Wind met, at least. But since then, he's ran some okay races back here, but just looks like the handicapper might just have him, to be honest. You know, he's not relenting with that. Mark remains on 83. Other horses that have got a squeak, Bapak Bangzawan down at the bottom, would have a chance, but certainly not one of Kevin Ryan's best horses, put it that way. Clubland has got course form. Sleepy Blue Ocean is probably, that's probably the one that I'd say. Sleepy Blue Ocean is the one that could give Hannah's Turn the most to do if you're looking for one at a bit of a price, maybe.
Okay.
But I'm finding it pretty hard to look past Hannah's Turn here.
What about Beacon Tan? Only run at Suddle twice, or Southwell twice, over this course and distance. Won both times under apprentice rides. Neil Farley won on him last time. He was back on board today, and clearly likes the Suddle surface.
Likes it here, definitely, but has been hiked in the weights. She runs off 72 today, or tomorrow, I should say.
£10 higher.
£10 higher, and, you know, rated, 53 back in November. You'd be asking a lot for it to win off 72. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. As you said, she clearly does like it here, gets on well with Neil Farley, but I just think comes up against a few here that might just be a bit too good.
Okay, let's have a summary then before you go, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your three selections for Southwell one more time.
Okay, in the 110, I'm going to go for Matagir. In the 145, the first leg of the Shelley Burkett and Chris Dwyer double, Tatting will be the pick. And in the 325, and probably the nap selection of the three, is Hannah's Turn. Once again, Shelley Burkett and Chris Dwyer teaming up there. Hannah's Turn, probably the best pick of those three.
Okay, thank you very much, Alex. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Alex Dunn. We also heard from Darren Owen as well, giving his Monday jury. And there you go, you can hear all of Tuesday's racing on Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. It'll be Niall Hannity, Ross Briley and Mick Norton in the studio. Two meetings to look forward to, Southwell and Exeter, so tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.